That's what's been happening in Israel over the last couple of hours. The air raid sirens and the alerts blinking red literally all across the country as Iran throws the full might of its ballistic missile arsenal at Israel. You see there a couple of impacts. Those look like they might have actually gone down into the Mediterranean Sea just to the west of Tel Aviv. No significant casualties, no significant damage that we know of. And for all intents and purposes, this appears to be over, at least for the moment, because airspace is reopened now in Israel, and people have been told that they can depart the bomb shelters that they have been in wait out what Iran had to throw at Israel.
Well, let's hope that's the end of it.
Go again. Last time this happened was back on April the 13th. It didn't result in any significant casualties or damage, and that appears to be the case again here tonight, Sandra.
Again, this is just coming from Iran, John, but still reporting what we are seeing cross. Per a senior Iranian official to Reuters, the U.S. was alerted by Iran through diplomatic channels shortly before these attacks took place. Also, per that senior Iranian official telling Reuters, Tehran had informed Russia ahead of these missile attacks on Israel. Also want to get this in here, that Israeli air defenses did shoot down dozens of Iranian missiles that flew over Syria, John. Syrian army sources are telling Reuters this at this hour, this after Iran launched this salvo of ballistic missiles at Israel. So a lot was happening at once, John. We're watching all of it, and now we await an update any moment now. We've got the live shot up at the White House of the White House press briefing room. We do expect to see how the White House is reacting to this shortly, and that is screen left, the State Department also expected to brief shortly, John.
All right, right now, let's get the very latest. Let's go to Trey Yingst in Haifa. Interesting information coming from Iran, Trey, that it did give the U.S. through diplomatic channels.
All right, that's enough. Again, this first 5 minutes isn't carried by some stations. We have a 1 minute break coming up to join those stations. Tell me who's coming up next on the spaces.
Let's go to Lumi Casanova.
No, we're going to go to break first.
Okay, we'll go to Lumi next. We got Miss Lou Skyler in here, Daniel K. Iceberg. We got Matt Baker and others as well.
Oh, we'll go to Matt Baker next.
Okay, that sounds good.
All right, so we'll talk to him after the break. We got to go to break for just a moment. But Chase, just more of your views on what's happening.
I'm at a loss for words. I just don't want World War III. I've got two little girls, and I'm sick of hearing talks of escalations in terms of World War. I'm sick of hearing talks of escalations in terms of Civil War, not because I'm afraid for myself, but because as a man, I don't want to see any harm come to women and children. And every conflict we've ever had as human beings always amounts to the rape and murder and trafficking and starvation of millions or thousands of people. And I'm just praying that Trump gets elected, stays alive, and is able to execute on his promises.
He definitely wants peace, and a lot of forces don't want him to be able to get in. I mean, they're going to try to kill him again. Every time they fail, they're going to try more.
Absolutely. Now, the question is, who's behind it, and why is nothing really being reported by the mainstream media about these investigations? Why is everybody acting like these attacks on Trump are because of the dangerous rhetoric of our side? It's very, very dark time to be an American, Alex.
Well, I'll say this. Iran's put all these proxy forces of Hezbollah, and they're also funding Hamas in, and Israel's just rolling them up. What I said back at the time, don't bomb Gaza indiscriminately. Kill the leaders of Hamas. Still, a lot of hostages haven't been turned over. And then now Iran, to save face, fires these missiles. Let's hope this de-escalates, but I don't see that. Because Israel has rolled into Lebanon, and we're going to give you the updates on Israel has launched their invasion as of today into Lebanon. We'll be back in 60 seconds with more commenters like Matt Baker on X Spaces and more. You're watching The Alex Jones Show coming up tonight. Live coverage of the Vance Walls debate.
The Save Alex Jones Broadcast Limited Edition Fundraiser T-shirt is available at thealexjonesstore.com. This exclusive limited edition T-shirt is your chance to stand with Alex Jones and support the ongoing fight for free speech. Featuring the bold red InfoWars logo prominently displayed on the front, this shirt is more than just a piece of apparel. It's a statement of solidarity. Crafted from high-quality materials, the shirt also features the InfoWars.com website and an American flag on the sleeve, symbolizing the fight to keep independent voices on the air. Every purchase of this T-shirt goes directly to ensuring that no matter what obstacles arise, Alex Jones will continue to broadcast the truth. Wearing this shirt means you're part of the mission to protect free speech and keep Alex Jones broadcasting. Get yours now before this limited edition sells out, and wear it proudly as a defender of the truth. Visit thealexjonesstore.com. SaveAlexJones.com right now and get the Save Alex Jones Broadcast Limited Edition Fundraiser T-shirt now. Get yours now.
Defending the Republic from enemies foreign and domestic. It's Alex Jones.
All right, several waves of ballistic missiles came in over Tel Aviv and Jaffa, however you say it, Jaffa today. Those just ended minutes ago. The Israelis say they don't see more missile tracks coming in. We'll continue to break this down. But the bigger news is, as of about 10 hours ago, Israel did roll into southern Lebanon with a large military force of tanks and armored vehicles, backed up by fighter bombers and helicopters and heavy artillery. And so they say they're taking out Hezbollah emplacements and different spider holes that they reportedly have found after really months of escalating bombardment of southern Lebanon. And in the backdrop of this, we have the giant port strike in the Gulf and the East Coast, cutting off half of the goods coming into the country, roughly half, like 49%. We have the devastated areas of the South and the terrible response by the Biden-Harris-Obama third administration. We've got in Arizona, California, and other states like Alabama, the feds coming in and saying they're going to block any state or local laws checking for voter ID to pave the way for more people to vote who live out of district or illegal aliens or dead people. And you've got the California governor signing an order saying that no local governments can check ID. The fix is in. I mean, this is just preposterously obvious. We've also got Tim Walz in a new video I posted on X this morning that I won't play the whole thing of coming up, but because it's 5 minutes of just clip of him stolen valor, of a grade he never had, of a rank he never had, of being a combat leader. I mean, this guy is just a piece of trash. And the fact that they knew all this about him and still put him in there just shows what they think of us, Chase.
You know, it was interesting. I had Cliff Maloney on as a guest this morning on the American Journal, and he said that what he's hearing from the people he knows in D.C. is that Kamala actually offered it to Josh Shapiro first, and he said no. So I think Shapiro might have actually been the first choice, and Walz was the default. But it seems from some of her rhetoric, like claiming that she had insomnia when she selected him and everything, that she's really regretting the decision that she made.
I mean, he gets booed everywhere.
Yeah.
And then Trump gets roaring applause. I mean, does anyone believe Biden really won? Does anyone believe she can win? And even in their skewed polls, she's now 3-4 points behind Trump in all the battlegrounds. Those are skewed when they oversample Democrats and play all the chicanery.
And they've done similar cell phone data that they did for example, Crooks, the first attempted assassin of Donald Trump, and the similar technology that was used for 2,000 Mules, where they've identified that a lot of the people that are going to the Kamala Harris rallies are the same people being bussed in or flown in. It's the same audience in every different city, whereas Trump and, you know, Tucker Carlson or Alex Jones are met with an audience that's actually excited to be there and pays to be there.
Well, they admitted at the DNC that they paid 30,000, first it was 10, then 30,000 influencers, thousands a day to be there. So, yeah, that's who it is. And they just follow them around.
Yep, they're just trying to pay for voters and supporters, and they're trying to create this fake social proof to appear as if they're popular so that when they steal the election, if they succeed in stealing the election, it's got some reasonable doubt in the minds of average Americans who aren't paying close enough attention to sustain their new government.
Well, I didn't play it when it broke Friday. Most people saw it. I posted it on X. But they hired two well-known actors, and I'm not even a huge movie or TV watcher, but I'd recognize both the actors. They're mid-level actors. They're in some big movies and play major roles as a husband and wife that were Trump supporters but are now Biden supporters that are farmers in Pennsylvania. And they look like they just walked out of a spa, and people went, wait, they're fake. And they literally said they're real farmers. So if they're going to hire actors, they go and hire actors that are on major TV shows and movies. I mean, that is like criminal. This is beyond AstroTurf. I mean, this is wild.
What's crazy is that it doesn't matter. There was a time in the United States of America where when politicians lied, they covered their tracks. They were very good at lying and covering up what they were doing wrong. Now they don't even try.
Well, that's it. And imagine if Trump hired well-known actors to say, oh, I've switched from Democrat to Republican, and then people found out they're fake farmers. He'd be over. Trump wouldn't even think like that. But they do that. I mean, there's no end to it. All right, and look at all the U.S. Navy assets for your TV viewer in the Middle East area. I mean, it's just an armed flotillas out there. Three strike groups This is bonkers, and they're letting Iran know if you respond too much, we're going to destroy you. So Iran, to save face, fires these missiles. The Israelis then shoot down, and they call Israel and say the missiles are coming. So why doesn't Iran just stop it? Well, because they want Shia Islam to take over. They're there pushing Christians out of Lebanon and pushing other Muslims out, which is what Islam does, both varieties, Shia and Sunni. And there are 69 Islamic countries, and almost no other groups are allowed in it. But we say, oh, let's bring Islam in here. I have new footage of female police converting to Islam in the UK. Talk about Stockholm Syndrome, Chase. Let's go to Matt Baker.
Matt, go ahead and unmute yourself and say what you have to say, sir.
All right, what's up, guys? Heavy times, praying for the world, praying for InfoWars. Love you guys. You know, there's a saying, it says, don't write checks that your butt can't cash. Well, the problem is, Israel writes the checks, and we have to cash them. And we need to cut the umbilical cord. People say everything Israel does is bad. Some people say everything Israel does is great. Well, here's the thing. We just need to be not involved with it. They can keep getting in these increasingly gnarly wars, mowing down the entire Gaza Strip, doing their Hannibal directive, creating Hamas. And then they keep upping the war and escalating, just knowing that we're going to back them up. We have to take that away from them, so they have to come to the table and possibly negotiate at some point, because right now they have no incentive to negotiate at all, and they do have the Greater Israel Project, and they're moving right along, right towards it. They've been moving on this thing. Who moves in earth movers just to clear the path and build roads, like, right after you completely obliterate it?
And then you got Jared Kushner on TV going, we're going to build some really nice condos in Gaza.
Right. So I'm not going to be like anti-Jew or this or that, but dude, we cannot be tied. We cannot tie our fate to them. They're like a millstone dragging us down. We have to keep our forces.
Listen, I agree with you. And also we shouldn't be giving all this money to Iran.
Exactly. We shouldn't be involved in any of it. We're tying our fate. We're tying our entire souls of the nation to this type of stuff, to these wars that we're not even involved in, that aren't benefiting us at all. We've done enough bloodshed on the world stage for Israel and other countries. Do we need to keep doing this? Can we save some of our honor for ourselves, for the battles that we need to fight in the upcoming World War III?
All right, Matt Baker, how do people find you? You're a great, great, great activist reporter.
Well, I'm on band.video, thanks to you and Rob Dew, Slave to Liberty. I'm also right here, slave_2_liberty. I'd like to give a shout-out to my good friend Luke Slywaker, who has been crushing it with viral videos about the border invasion lately.
All right, thanks, brother. Guys. Thank you. There's a fellow I've known for a while, really worked with us exposing Epstein years ago, and his name is Brian Clark. I see he's there.
Go ahead, unmute yourself, Ashes of Acacia.
Hey, thanks very much, guys. You know, I concur with you about, like, just the multiplicity of geopolitical conflicts that have undermined the sovereignty of the United States of America and nations throughout the globe because of the globalists just wanting to usurp any sort of national autonomy that any sovereign state has. But where I differ is that I think Israel has probably the most pronounced influence on all of that. Whether you're talking about what's going on in the Middle East, whether you're talking about communist China, Israel and Zionism in particular has its fingerprints on all those things. When we talk about Islam and we talk about Judaism and obviously the political manifestations of that, you know, it's a bit of a false dichotomy because you look at groups like Hamas, and Hamas was created by Israel in the 1980s.
That's a fact.
As a mechanism to destabilize the political solidarity for the PLO, for Fatah, and for any idea that, you know, the state of Palestine could come to realize itself. And it just goes much deeper than that, because in the Middle East, what you had in the late 17th century was a messianic movement started by a Romanian Jewish rabbi named Sabbatai Zvi. And what Sabbatai Zvi had done was, in addition to being a messianic claimant, he had created the tactic that we know as Donma Judaism or crypto Judaism. And what he did was he was, you know, proselytizing his particular messianic claim of Judaism in the Ottoman Empire, having been expelled from Thessaloniki, which is in Greece, but at the time was under Ottoman control. But he went to, you know, Asia Minor, went to Anatolia and to Turkey. And long story short, he was, you know, going to be branded a heretic and executed unless he converted. And he
Hey, do me a favor. Back off your microphone a little bit.
Yeah, is this better?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so what he did was he converted, and he had infiltrated the institutions of the Ottoman Empire. And, you know, he basically started what would be the historical materialism that would lead to Zionism. The first part was the usurpation of what happened with of the Muslim world in the Ottoman Empire. He had died, and then about a century later, an acolyte of his by the name of Jacob Frank emerged. He had said essentially that he was the reincarnation of Sabbatai Zvi, and he espoused a similar theology and political tactics, except he did this in Christendom. He did this by working with the Catholic Church to infiltrate.
Very interesting history lesson, but just, I mean, tell us where you're going with this.
Well, where I'm going with this is that everything that we're talking about, all the roads lead to Tel Aviv. Whether you want to talk about communist China and its influence on the United States of America, whether you want to talk about the role that radical Islam poses as a threat to the United States of America, it's all really part of the Zionist movement. And it's all because of an eschatological prophecy that is just biblical for them. They want their Messiah to come to earth. Right? And that is the faction that rules Israel, is Likud, is the most radical and religiously fundamentalist of all of them. So it's worth examining because the political layer of it is sort of a facade. This goes something that is, and you talk about it all the time, Alex, this is a spiritual war. Well, look at how incongruent Judaism is with, you know, Western and Christian society. I mean, they think Christ was an evil magician. It's in the Talmud. It's in 56, Gittin 56b. They think Christ was an evil magician that was sent to hell to boil an excrement. They talk about in Sanhedrin 43a, they had put Christ to death. The Jews admit it. It's in the Talmud. So it's incongruent.
I appreciate you popping in here. We're just kind of getting an indictment of modern, you know, some sects of Judaism. And I've read the stuff you're saying. I know most of that's been said and done, at least from my research. I'm not saying you're wrong about the other stuff, but I am familiar with what you're saying. Where do you think this expansion of the war is going? What do you think is going to happen in the election in closing?
Sure. I think the expansion of the war is just necessary. It's just going to be something that sets the stage for the political instability for globalism to put its fingerprint on everything, including the election moving forward. I think what you're going to have is you're going to have an exacerbation of the geopolitical climate to the point where you're going to have states of emergency that are going to essentially be a justification for the existing powers that be to further subvert everything that would be democratic recourse against them. They're just setting the stage.
All right.
It's just like with COVID, right?
Sure. Using the crises to get more power and control, just like 9/11. Thank you. Good points. Who's up next here?
Let's go to Miss Lou. Miss Lou, what's on your mind?
Gentlemen, thank you very much. Thank you, by the way, Alex, for actually calling this a war. And I agree with the last speaker on one thing. I think this is going to escalate. You've been saying it. And I think they're going to use this as the October surprise to absolutely stop this election, because I've been listening to election integrity people all over the place, from War Room to you name it. And they're all saying the steel is full on. The 2020 playbook is absolutely happening. And of course, acerbated now with 15 million illegals. So, you know, who knows where that's going to go, but I don't think we're even going to get there.
Well, I'm concerned they're going to kill Trump and blame Iran and or both. Activate Hezbollah sleeper cells or say the cells were activated. This is really teeing that up, in my view.
Absolutely. And do you remember a name, Robert Maley? Do you remember him when he had his security clearances pulled and he was an Iranian asset in our State Department? Well, he never lost his job, okay? Our State Department is filled with Iranian assets. Thank you, Barack Obama.
Absolutely. All right. Thank you. Yeah, there's a lot of weird coziness with the Iranians, the Democratic Party. A lot of weirdness.
Yeah, well, with the hacking leak story, it seemed to me very likely that what really happened was Iran hacked the Trump campaign, gave the information to the Democrats. The Democrats sent it to the FBI, hoping that something illegal would be found in the hacked communication so that they could prosecute Trump or the Trump campaign or his
That's
staff.
Right. They used the Iranians as the right. as the go-between.
And then they had to admit that the hack happened after they combed through it and found no illegal activity had been documented in the communication. So they made it look like the Democrats were being honest about a hack, but really what they were doing was sending the communications to the authorities in hopes that the weaponized DOJ would come down on Trump even harder.
Just like they did with my cell phone and found nothing.
Yep.
Like we sit around and go, let's do something illegal. Like, how do you even, you know, or like Trump's like, let's do something illegal. Trump's like a straight shooter, folks. It's preposterous. All right. Let's go to the next speaker.
All right. Let's go to Lumi Casanova. Lumi, go ahead and unmute yourself and say what you have to say.
Yeah, thank you for having me on. Everyone's made brilliant points. I really think that 6 days from now is the anniversary of October 7th. Scrutiny has to be placed on that original date, because that date, that's when the rhetoric changed massively. Hello? And Israel was allowed to do what they basically have done for the last year, which is unimpeded attacks on anyone who they see as a threat, which has put America in such a horrific position, because we're between a rock and a hard place going into this election. Everyone's made it clear the amount of threats are huge. But one thing I'll make the point here is this, is that originally Israel used this hack, Sputnik. It was the Project Olympic Games, right? That uranium, which was meant to be enriched, was all wasted because all these different processing machines were destroyed. The point is, if Iran wanted to create absolute chaos right now, those ballistic missiles would have some sort of radioactive waste. If there is no radioactive waste there, then watch Israel try to find any reason to escalate to the next step, because basically there is no appetite for Iran to go nuclear. It's just trying to go tick for tat.
No, I agree. How long until Israel and Israel and Western governments do this, all governments do it, why doesn't Israel stage a false flag and blame Iran if Netanyahu really wants that so bad? Or was letting Hamas attack on January 6th, was that the false flag?
I mean, the real question is that does Bibi need to be keep his position of power, and how extreme does he need to be to keep control? That's the real.
And by the way, question. It's admitted this war is the only thing keeping him in power.
And that's pretty much me. I don't want to carry on. We can beat a dead horse. But one thing I did find out recently was that there's 1.1 million Venezuelans making their way slowly to America. So once this all clears up, there's another massive disaster coming. And that's from this gentleman who's a journalist on the border, who he has been censored and removed from every platform apart from X. So and I said to reach out to you and to Chase, because
who's the journalist? Who's the journalist?
I'll send you the DM of the name so you can go for everything.
All right, thank you. Now, I've got a guest coming on who does emergency management, who's really excellent in predicting all of this, and he's still going to come on. We're going to talk about the hurricane and the lack of response there and what's unfolding, and he'll be able to speak to this as well, and we'll continue on. I'm going to host the fourth hour. Maria Z was going to be hosting. She does a great job. She'll be joining us tonight during the debate coverage. Let's put the debate coverage symbol up there of the graphic. I should probably get busy and post that on X to invite everybody to be sure and join us tonight. Coverage starts at 6 p.m. for 2 hours with myself and with Chase Geyser, Owen Schroyer, Maria Z, and more. We got a bunch of big guests coming up tonight. 2 hours before, we'll have live coverage and we'll stream the debate of the Vance Walls debate. That's Tampon Tim, of course, against J.D. Vance. You'll find the feeds at Real Alex Jones and backup feeds at Infowars.com/show and band.videos. I want to encourage everybody to join us there for that tonight, and to share the link and tell others to come get our pre, during, and post coverage of this. I think this is going to be a very explosive debate tonight. I think it's going to be very entertaining. What do you think?
I think so, too. I just hope that, given that Tim Walls is such a buffoon, and he really does come off like Elmer Fudd, I hope that J.D. Vance has not underestimated him and has actually prepared, because there's no doubt in my mind that Tim Walz is going to be prepared for this debate, even though he's got nothing on him.
He's going to have a bunch of zingers.
He's going to have a bunch of zingers. So J.D. Vance has to be taking this very seriously. I think he will, though, because he's got to live up to the Trump name and ticket. And I think he sees it as a promotion, and I think he's going to really kick butt.
You think he'll rise to the occasion?
Yep.
You predicted Trump would underperform. He still won the one against Kamala, but it was 3-1, and she had a bunch of zingers. They were able to divert him with, oh, your crowds aren't big, and he shouldn't take the bait. He should have ignored a lot of their questions, just said what he wanted to like she did. But you were accurate in that prediction. You're saying Vance is going to overperform tonight.
I think Vance is going to shock and awe. But I don't want to, you know, I don't want to build up expectations and then have a disappointment situation. I think he's going to win, though, 100%.
When we come back, I'm going to just play a few minutes of it because it really gets annoying. It's 5 minutes long. I posted it on X today. Short clips of him saying he's a combat vet and that he had a much higher rank than he did and just saying, just lying and lying and lying. I had no idea there were this many clips. I knew of like 10. This 5 minute clip has like 50. I mean, I watched the whole thing. I couldn't believe it.
Right.
I mean, this guy is a freaking liar.
It's sickening. And apparently, you know, I did some diving into this, some research into this. Apparently, he reached that rank, but never spent any time as that rank. And he was demoted to the rank below it for the sake of benefits that he had earned. So he's claiming a higher rank than he had when he retired.
So it's worse. He was stripped.
Yes.
He was busted.
He was busted. Yeah, they reduced his rank back down for his benefits when he retired. So he has the benefits of the rank.
Because he deserted when it was time to go to war.
Seems to me to be the case.
And he did that. And then he said that he was there.
Yep. Weapons of war, in war. And he talks about when I was in Iraq.
Or Afghanistan.
But he implies that it was when he was in Iraq in the context of a war that he was participating in. It was just when he went over there with some congressional thing.
Yeah, it's all very carefully planned lies, which makes it even worse. Remember, his own family, all a bunch of them in Florida and in, because he's from Omaha,
yeah.
They all came out from Nebraska. So this guy is the worst guy in the family. You don't want him anywhere near power.
Yeah.
And he's a communist Chinese agent.
He's flipping off Americans at football games. He's got a short fuse. He's nuts. It's going to come out.
I mean, he just, look, I'm not saying he's a pedophile. But if I was going to hire somebody to play a guy that drives around an ice cream truck kidnapping kids and taking them to a basement that's really a space alien and sucks their blood, it'd be him.
Elmer Fudd in a brown suit.
The demon space spider. All right, we're going to go to break. Hey, listen, folks, I'm firing the bad signal. They're trying to shut us down. If you want to make sure we continue on the air one way or another without getting into all the inside baseball or strategy, I need your support now. You need to keep this legendary broadcast with all our hosts, everything we've done on air. Go to thealexjonesstore.com right now. Get the fundraiser InfoWars classic shirt with the new URL you'll be hearing about, realalexjones.com on the back. There's so many other great designs. A lot of these are my concepts with great designers making them. New shirts just got added. There's, you know, bumper stickers. There's wristbands. And anything you buy there, you get put in the raffle for the giant super truck, Dodge Turbo Diesel, and the $10,000 cash. That'll be announced on October 30th, coming up here in like 29 days. But regardless, I need your support. So get great T-shirts and spread the word. Know you supported the broadcast. Have the memento. And I'm just asking for your help. I want to stay in the fight. I want to stay in the game, Coach. But you're the boss, listeners out there. So if you decide to help keep me on air, do it now. One way or another, I need funds. So flood thealexjonesstore.com. Make the decision to go there now. The tyrants want to shut down. They're licking their off their face. Go to the Alex Jones Store right now. It's Friday, August 16th, 2024. The world is changing. The globalist system is now attacking humanity. As their programs come to an end. The grid. A digital frontier. I tried to picture clusters of information as they move through the computer. What do they look like? Ships, motorcycles, with circuits like freeways. I kept dreaming of the world I thought I'd never see. And then, one day, I got in.
Alex Jones, Dr. Kirk Elliott, good friend.
friend of mine, really smart guy, is our guest. And I'm just going to put this right up front. If I owned a restaurant, I would want to have the best, most delicious, healthy food at the most affordable prices where I got the biggest crowds in. So you had a great experience. You want to come back 100 times and I make money and I'm successful. You have a great time. You get treated right. I get treated right. That's a community. So let's say it again. People really responded to this truth. I've been on there 30 years. I've had gold sponsors for 28 years as sponsors. Only two companies. Because if you want a numismatic, they'd sell it to you. But they would try to sell you gold and silver bullion with, you know, 10% markup or whatever to pay their bills and do it. And that's very fair. You barely do it. I don't know how Kirk does it at 8% with his crew and his everything and the quality and the marketing, but he does it. So he's paying for marketing and running his crew and doing all this stuff for 8% and no charge to sell it back. Everybody else does that. It's such a good deal. It's very frustrating. I know we have millions of people watching every hour, and a lot of folks are calling. He's getting thousands of calls when he comes on. That's great. But it needs to be tens of thousands of calls. I mean, this is so simple. In a world of fiat, you at least want to have a hedge that's in silver and gold. And if you look at what's happening, I am only going to try to push something that I believe I would personally do. And that I personally do. I mean, it's real simple. Do unto those as you would do unto you. That's the golden rule. And Christ said, actually, you need to go further, lay your life down for others. But when everybody's like that, you live in a great society because nobody's really having any problems. Everybody's a badass. Everybody's willing to sacrifice. So it is a no-brainer to call them, do a consultation, and get into silver right now. And if you want some gold, you know, maybe get an 80% silver, get some gold. But I think he's dead on. I don't think I know. You would be all silver. That's what's going to go up, obviously. That's what's undervalued. Then you get the gold once it skyrockets, which is already happening. So you need to go to KEPM.com/gold. That's Kirk Elliott Precious Metals. KEPM.com/gold. And then InfoWars is the support. Or you can call 720-605-3900. And listen, if enough of you went there, because he does a sponsorship off of what percentage he gets, we could get reporters back, expand, do anything. I mean, already we would not be on air right now if it wasn't for his sponsorship. He takes us over the top to be in the black. Not much, but a little bit. And so I appreciate the crew staying with us through all this hell. It's been wild. We're still here by the grace of God, but you need to support this sponsor. It supports what we're doing. Plus, it's the best deal, the best company, the highest ratings. It's so simple. Call him now, 720-605-3900.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. From Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
I'm a retired command sergeant major.
This is Congressman Tim Walz. He's a retired command sergeant major in the Army Artillery.
Tell him I'm a school teacher. I'm a retired sergeant major. As a 24-year veteran of the Army National Guard and a retired command sergeant major.
As a retired sergeant major in the Army National Guard out of Minnesota.
Retired out as command sergeant major.
I spent 24 years in the military, Congressman, as a command sergeant major. I don't.
Tim Walz is one of those everyday people. Coach to the state champs, teacher of the year, command sergeant major.
I am a retired command sergeant major in the Minnesota National Guard.
I am a retired sergeant major in the Army National Guard.
What I consider to be the responsibility and the privilege of being the highest ranking enlisted personnel ever to serve in Congress. And I'm the Democrats.
What rank was that?
Command sergeant major.
So when you first came to Washington, you were a retired command sergeant major in the Army National Guard. So you,
I was an enlisted soldier for all those years, and care of troops and making sure they have the right equipment is paramount. So,
17, served 24 years, including an Operation Enduring Freedom, retired as a command sergeant major, which makes him the highest ranking enlisted soldier to ever serve in the United States Congress. That's
what he said. Have a visitor that's coming. This is Congressman Walz from Minnesota. He's a retired sergeant major in the Army.
Mr. Speaker, I yield 30 seconds to the gentleman from Minnesota.
The highest ranking enlisted soldier ever to serve in the United States Congress, Command Sergeant Major Tim Walz.
The gentleman from Minnesota is recognized for 30 seconds.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I thank the gentleman for this.
Great. I have a unique privilege in Congress is that by being elected from this district and being a retired Command Sergeant Major, I am the highest ranking enlisted soldier to ever serve in Congress since the beginning.
I'm Congressman Tim Walz. It's a real honor to be able to pay tribute to the 34th Red Bull Infantry Division and to your families and friends as you prepare to deploy in support of Operation Iraqi Freedom. As a 24-year veteran of the National Guard and the Red Bull Division and a retired Command Sergeant Major, I'm a...
Congressman Tim Walz, also a member of the Armed Services Committee and Veterans Affairs, Democrat of Minnesota, highest-ranking enlisted soldier ever to serve in Congress. Enlisted in the Army National Guard at 17 and retired 24 years later as Command Sergeant Major and served with his battalion at Operating Enduring Freedom.
With service in both the Nebraska National Guard and then the Minnesota National Guard, he retired as a Command Sergeant Major.
Shortly after I was elected, I got the opportunity to go out to Walter Reed Army Medical Center and visit some of our wounded warriors. And there was this young man there coming back from Iraq, recovering from his injuries, and they said, this is Congressman Walz. He's a retired Sergeant Major in the Army. And
Congressman's a retired Army Command Sergeant Major with time in combat. I think he called.
I need to have one quick answer for both of you. He did. Congressman.
No, I think there is, Chris, because I think it's different. I think we get a tighter mission on training the Afghan security forces, and I think that's possible.
The Command Sergeant Major, Governor Tim Walz of Minnesota. Football coach, and now our joyful
warrior. Tampon Tim and Stolen Valor goes on and on. Steve Slepcevic is our guest. He heads up Strategic Response Partners. Amazing folks that do security for Trump, you name it, all over the country, all over the world. Did a great job in Maui helping folks and exposing what really happened there. I wanted to get him on because of the unprecedented disaster with Hurricane Helena and 40 trillion gallons of water that dumped out and the terrible response by the deep state Democrats. And also this huge port shutdown, the biggest in the last 50 years. But now we've got the escalating situation with Iran. Steve, thank you so much for coming on with us. Just from your own experience and all your sources, 34 days out from the election, you've been predicting that they're going to have all sorts of black swans and escalation. So since we talked 2 weeks ago, give us your latest intel on what's currently unfolding.
Well, I mean, obviously the Hurricane Helene that came through had its target directly over Tallahassee. We had our team in position in Tallahassee 3 days before. I was there, boots on the ground, meeting with different critical infrastructure from the hospital to the airport, you know, just providing all the resources, just positioning everything in place. And if you watch that hurricane, it was a little bit to the left of Tallahassee, then a little bit to the right of Tallahassee, then right over Tallahassee. And then just before it started to get onto that shoreline, it took a hard right, kind of a jog. So the thing was going up, slid over to the right, and then came across and went through Perry and Steinahatchee area. What I saw unfolding is that you could see where that hurricane was going to be moving over top of the North Carolina area, and the way that it was going to pivot, the width of that storm dropping all that water into the mountains was going to cause a massive flood event. Those of us that are in the industry know what was going to unfold. The response on the federal side of this particular hurricane was something that teams should have been put in place immediately, deployed immediately. There's no excuse for what actually happened. And the other part of what's really going on that's really difficult to kind of comprehend is those that are actually out there trying to do these assisted type of proof of life, getting water and food in there, are being restricted. They're being held back, tampered, and so on and so forth. And I understand command and control, like when FEMA steps in there, the USAR team steps in there, they kind of want to control that space. But the thing is, you want to be able to work through a public-private partnership because it's really all hands on deck. So for us going into those communities, you know, we're out there just simply bringing the water to those areas that are cut off from the public, with our helicopters, bringing food to those people that are in need, and also bringing, you know, SAC communication, communication so that they can connect with the outside world. They can call their loved ones and next of kin, let them know what where they're at. Now, we're not in that position to provide life emergency medical services. Now, understand, my guys are paramedics. They're active. They're flight medics. They're USAR trained. But that they're not in that capacity for that. That falls for us under a Good Samaritan type scenario because we don't have jurisdiction in those areas. Those things are controlled space. It's no different than the California wildfires or any of the wildfires. If we bring out and we do what they call private fire structure, like private fire for the structure protection of it, we have to be outside of, we can't be on their right of way. We can't be on the roads, even though it's public access. We got to really kind of be pushed onto that property and not impede in their way of, in their abilities to fight these fires. But if you're on an end of a street or you're on a cul-de-sac or you're in a community where you have your, we have our private fire out there and they're doing, they're putting water on four or five homes or six, seven homes at the same time, that actually relieves the resources that they need now to throw on that and they can focus on the other properties that don't have. It's the same concept. So if you're in that area, we're not tying up their resources. We're giving them more bandwidth to get to more people. And the fact that some people are still cut off in these remote areas that have had no contact, you know, food you could go without probably 30 days or so on. Yeah, you're going to be on a pretty heavy duty fast. But water, you only got a couple of days of that before you're done. That'll kill you really fast.
Steve, I've seen a lot of hurricanes, but this looks worse just in the sheer magnitude in the area hit, way worse than Katrina, because Katrina hit Louisiana, surrounding towns, you know, a little bit into Mississippi, other areas. It was terrible. This is just gigantic, and this is unbelievable. And then you've got $45 million spent by Biden of taxpayer money to put in internet around the rural areas. Nothing was put in, zero. Like they spent $7.6 billion on charging stations. They built like four or five of them, just stealing all the money. Then they wouldn't work with Elon Musk for $2 billion to give the whole nation internet. Though now they admit FEMA is having to use Starlink. This is what you keep saying, satellite, 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 satellite. And it's just crazy.
Yeah, you know, again, people think you're selling something. But when you're going, hey, look at these areas. These people have zero communication. If they can actually be able to call somebody out, let them know where they're at, let their family know that. I always say, communication controls chaos, right? You need to be able to communicate the outside world. And then you can also have people can actually come to you and support you. Look at this nationwide outage with Verizon. I was literally in Florida 3 days before, rode the stuff out, got the teams in place, turned around, flew to DC for Rescue the Republic. Our security teams there provided all the security for back house, including the VIP guests that were flying in and out from FOB to the venue, all secured, back of house, speak, back of house, meetings, and then back on their plane, wheels up, flight aware that this is where they're at and they're out of town. At an event, and then turned around, came back, grabbed this another set of gear, another bank of sat phones to then go back out where I'll be tonight in North Carolina, right back at ground zero. And then the next morning it's wheels up again. I'm just jumping on my next flight with my team that have been going in rotation to be able to get these sat phones to these different people in the area so that they could reach out, also communicate back to base camp and EMS and the SAR teams going, hey, here's what you have going on in these specific areas that you haven't got to. So just supporting what they're doing and just getting them other intel that they may not have so they can actually effectively respond. There are good people wanting to do great things for the people out there. It is the command structure that has completely failed. And this starts from the very, very top. And I hope and pray, I've never been political. I was a registered Democrat forever. I'm a huge Kennedy fan. I went, independent. And I'm a big fan of Trump because of his policies. I don't have to like what he says and be upset and whatever. Executing. And I'm telling you, when he was running, and I've been in disaster zones since 1989, from Hurricane Andrew. I've seen under multiple administrations how the response was and what a disaster response multiple administrations have had. And then I saw the disaster response with Trump and seeing how well he responded to Puerto Rico and hearing the mayor on the streets. And I'm watching the news and I'm like, wait, I'm in the same city on the same street. And you're telling me people are dying and all this. And I was like, oh my God, this propaganda machine is out of control. When they had teams deployed and doing damage assessments like the very the second or third day in a massive disaster. That was, we had Harvey, we had Irma, and we had Hurricane Maria. So you had Houston, you had Marco Island, and you had Puerto Rico. So what's happening, this command, like if I was a person and that was my incident commander, I'd have him fired, I'd have him dragged out, and I'd put another person in charge, and that person would be Trump or his administration, and whoever he's putting in those positions, these departments need to be really hardcore.
I agree. Steve Slepnovic, yeah. Steve, stay right there. I want to explain something. We have a great sponsor called the Satellite Phone Company. You go to InfoWarsPhone.com, and then we get the support, get all the best deals. You've explained, you're not even part of that. You're gracious enough to come on because you're a supporter of what they do. They help you out in emergencies, helping people that don't have this. They're the biggest company out there because they're the best, and they've got all the different systems, all the different chargers, all the banks that charge the energy. They have the portable solar systems that are lightweight and work great. Everybody should go to InfoWarsPhone.com, and you keep harping on whether you live in the mountains or whether you live in areas hit by hurricanes. Everybody, no matter where they are, with the way the world is right now, needs a sat phone, needs to have the solar charger, needs to have the accoutrement. This is just as important as firearms and water filtration and everything. In fact, I would say, obviously with family or whatever, if a nuke goes off or the power goes off or whatever's happening, those satellites will still be up there with power. I mean, literally having one of these is the difference between life and death in so many scenarios. It is a no-brainer. And so people need to go to InfoWarsPhone.com and check all of this out. And the Faraday backpack and just all the rest of it is the very best at the best prices at InfoWarsPhone.com. It's a win-win for everybody. But looking at the response by the feds and the statements by the feds saying that the head of the Commerce Department, you know, not worried about the strike that's been called. I understand the unions have a right to call a strike. It's not like they're the air traffic controllers that had a contract where they couldn't and Reagan fired them. But they already had this plan for months. They warned they would do it because their pay is terrible. I understand why they're doing it. But because of these areas in the Gulf and now on the East Coast devastated, I think they ought to call this off or something right now, because you exacerbate half of the stuff coming into the country being shut off with this devastation over four states. This sounds like a perfect storm to me. A, that question, Steve. And then B, what do you make of what's being reported as just a almost non-response by the feds?
Oh, on the ports? Yeah, I mean, that's a massive, that's of epic proportion. If that every day that happens, the amount of looting that's going to happen, this is happening in the streets. When people stop having the supplies that they're used to, forget the TVs and the electronics and stuff like that, but when their foods can't get to the grocery stores, and we're so dependent on the stuff that's being shipped in, there's going to be a breakdown real quick. You're already seeing trailers and tractor trailers and warehouses that are getting looted, tires that are getting slashed, trucks that are getting robbed. This is just the beginning. And every day that goes on, this crisis is going to get exponential. And then even if the government steps in and to get them on a 90-day process, you know these workers are just going to go half-ass about it because it's part of the negotiation tactic. People are trying to keep their jobs and keep AI and automation from fully getting rid of people, which is really, if you look at it, it's kind of the tipping point. The globalists want to go to the AI where you're going to have nothing to be happy and everything is going to be automated and all controlled by AI, which means there's no use for all these longshoremen because all these jobs will go away because everything becomes automated. So, yeah, this is the beginning. I think it's going to be a very difficult time for a lot of people. I also wanted to mention like how you're talking about the sponsor. One of the things people don't know is a satellite phone store. I'm literally grabbing a bank of sat phones that they're just donating. They're their rental phones that they're just taking and donating them to the people out there, because as we pull in with our helicopters and we're getting really low, we could step off, get into that premises, check if everybody's okay, drop the water, drop the food, and then actually leave them a sat phone, right? Or have them make the call, right? So some of these guys that are going to be out there that are in command and control that may not have them, the satellite phone store has given me these to give them, not, you know, on their account that they're paying for. And it's just everything in life is about paying it forward. I mean, people don't understand. We're a private company, and the stuff that we're doing out there is very different from what we normally do that are under paid contracts. These people don't have money. There's no insurance coverage. And so this is the first time since 1989 that I've ever posted a GiveSendGo, a givesendgo.com/SRP24 for those that want to donate. And we're not a nonprofit. So the way that I'm doing it is it comes in, I give it to the fuel, to the helicopter, to the pilot, to those people that are actually in my team that actually are putting the resources in the air to get to these people. None of this stuff goes to us. I'm not paying myself. I'm not paying those people that are part of my company for that type of stuff. It's not, that's not our purpose. That's not our goal. But when we've run these missions, it gets very expensive, very fast. And it's very different that, this is one of those times in history that it's so unprecedented. I'm like, man, our wheels are going to come off if some great, some sponsors and some donors, I don't care if it's $5, just people just to show. And again, if it's a bigger donor, they're like, or a smaller donor, I don't care. Reach out to me. I'll put you in touch directly with the helicopter pilot, direct, right with the fuel company. You can pay that bill directly. And that makes us go that much further and that much longer.
And by the way, can you tell us what you, Trump reportedly has been on the ground? We've seen it. He's bringing in a bunch of supplies too. And it's not like he'll save the world, but all of us doing stuff is going to change things. But I mean, imagine you've got the ports shutting down. You've got this happening. There's already looting by illegal aliens all over the place. This is crazy. We know they've got weather weapons. This is very mysterious, I think. Since they have weather weapons, we should look at maybe, you know, this possibly being part of it. I'm not saying that's the case, but the timing of all of this, and you've been predicting black swans ahead of this election.
Yeah, I mean, this is calculated, right? I mean, this is calculated. Everything's about timing. And I here's the reality of it. There are no accidents. Everything's in its own perfect order. These things have been war-gamed. They've been planned out. There are no accidents. You know, so I always tell people, just get prepared, get your house in order, get your communication sat phone, get your radio to radio, get your food, get your water, get your purification systems in place, and have an evacuation plan. So if no phones work and nothing works, you actually know how to move in and around the grid and create a community, man. This is about a community, people coming together. It's a spiritual war that we're in. And I promise you that you could be as prepared as you are, and you could be the most prepared survivalist in the world. But if your house isn't in order spiritually, man, that's what's going to guide you in these times, in these troublesome times. Going to be your Holy Spirit. And if you're connected to your spirit and you're on your knees and you're doing your spiritual work, my friend, you have a greater chance of survival than any great survivalist who hasn't mentally, spiritually put his house in order.
Absolutely. Well, the satellite phone company is amazing, InfoWarsPhone.com. And people need to get this, and it's a great sponsor. It's the place to go, the best deals. I've looked at it. It's the top company out there. If you go to InfoWarsPhone.com, you can see the different types of sat phones, the smartphones with the dongles. Most you got to also have, again, the charging station so the power goes out. You've got that small, medium, large, tough, mobile, lightweight solar panel systems. And then you've got communications for your neighborhood, for everything, for your family. And then, of course, the handheld sat phones, all these other systems for your friends, your family, your neighbors. Everybody in this climate needs to have these and get them out. They're easy to use. Program the numbers into it because everything else is going to go down during all the craziness. And the globalists have said they may do a major power outage, a major cyber attack to bring in their new world order. They said it'll make COVID look like a minor inconvenience, Klaus Schwab said. It is so important to get prepared now, not just with the phones, but to get the – a lot of you have the phones. Do you have – the solar panels? Do you have the charging block? I mean, this is what we're talking about. It is such a basic thing to get ready with. And you're saying, you said this last few times it went viral, Steve, that you're seeing governments, corporations dig in for something big. Democrats are talking about civil war conditions. Can you speak to that?
Yeah, I mean, I shared with, you know, you have, you know, 50 plus senators on the Democrat side that got satellite phones in case there's a crisis, you know. And all the critical infrastructure that we're working with, this is part of their plan as to how would they respond if there's their supply chain gets cut off? How would they just respond if their power comes off, they're off the grid? How are they going to get the fuel to those power generators to keep that stuff going, their generator mechanics? So these are all part of it. What would happen if there's an EMP strike or just a directed system that actually can take their power grid off their panels right off the off on site or a nearby location, a substation location. I mean, look, if it's real, everyone's preparing for it. And it's not to scare anybody. It's just say, get your house in order. I mean, the stuff that we're doing out there, if any of your listeners have somebody in that area that has been, that's in a remote area, that's been completely cut off and they have not heard from them, they're welcome to send me the address, photograph, as much details about that individual, their location. And we will do our best to get a helicopter with our team into that area to do a proof of life, just to swing by that area, drop water, SAT communications, food, whatever is needed that we can provide as far as a humanitarian support. They can email me at response, R-E-S-P-O-N-S-E, at SRP24.com. Response at SRP24.com. Those that want to support, those that want to have, they have resources, they have abilities, whatever capabilities, have them just reach out to us. I mean, this is what it's going to be. It's going to be a community. It's going to be those that work together to save America. And speaking of that, those that haven't, that didn't go to join the resistance.org, that weren't at Rescue the Republic in D.C., one of the most beautiful, beautiful events, highly encourage you, go online, join the resistance.org, and watch that entire production with the musicians. The firefighter procession was incredible. The doctors. Also, Robert Malone shared some shocking information that's coming out of Japan on this replicating new vaccine that is being beta'd out there. So people really need to see what's coming.
It's now being vetted that it is a replicating nanotech by top universities, top Japanese. We've known this for years, but now it is not a rumor. It is confirmed. Rescue Republic, I watched a bunch of it this weekend. Incredible. Give that URL, Robert Kennedy Jr., all of them. Give that URL out one more time.
Jointheresistance.org. Jointheresistance.org. And the event was called Rescue the Republic. And it was really fascinating because the entire front of that entire crowd swelled to well over 5,000 people in the rain. And so many people were afraid to go to D.C. And when you looked around, it's what we call our dirty crowd, because my Saber security team, which is a separate company that I operate, did the back house and the VIP and secured that place and locked it down so that the VIPs that we were bringing in and out that we were in charge of had a safe place, had the bulletproof glass set up.
Well, great job. Steve Slepovic, thank you so much. I want to get updates from you. I know you're too busy saving people with your huge company, but footage, anything you want to send us, we'll put on air. I want to get an update from you in the next few days. InfoWarsPhone.com. That's not him, but that's who he's talking about. Amazing. Get all the best deals on the solar panels, the charging blocks, the sat phones, the dongles, the smartphones. It's all there. InfoWarsPhone.com. Steve, thank you so much. Talk to you very soon, my friend.
Alex, thank you for being the voice out in this very dark world today. So thank you for being here. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Today's conspiracy theories, tomorrow's truths.
Some of these conspiracy theories have turned out to be true.
Which ones?
The Trump-Russia witch hunt, Jeffrey Epstein, JFK assassination, the misuse of the Patriot Act, the Iraq war, the weapons of mass destruction, the war in Ukraine, the bombing of the Nord Stream pipeline, the open border migration caravans, the climate change scam, chemtrails, and HARP, and 9/11 being an inside job, and the Internet of Things surveillance grid, and PFAs, and chemicals in the water turning everyone gay, and the 2020 election being stolen, and January 6th being filled with undercover feds, and Bilderberg, and Bohemian Grove, and global government, not to mention gain-of-function research, and the threat of China, and collapsing birth rates, and defund the police, and George Soros, and mail-in ballots, and big tech censorship, and disinformation agencies, and Obama's birth certificate, and probably some others I can't think of. I mean, so a few of them. I guess a couple of them have been true.
You will meet so many amazing people wearing the shirt. I'd say you'll get probably 50 compliments before you get one person screaming at you.
Donald J. Trump is now President of the United States.
But it's an adventure to wear any of these shirts, but particularly this one. Get this design and so many others. They're limited edition at thealexshowstore.com. Keep us on air in our fight against the globalist. And I want to thank you so much for your support, because literally, when you call in thanking me on air, I say stop, because I'm thanking you. I love fighting the globalist. This is what I do. We've had such a huge effect together. So I want to thank you all for your past support. Encourage you now to go to thealexjonesstore.com and be sure to enter for the free truck and $10,000 and buy more product, support the broadcast, and get entered 5 or 10 times, depending on the day, each time you buy a product. This new initiative is so important to the future. So everybody, if you support what we're doing and want to get great shirts and ball caps at the same time, go to thealexjonesstore.com. And I almost forgot, most of these shirts come in multiple colors.
If you are
Receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.